when we talked last year, you described the way that orchestra bookings, which are only, you know, a couple or maybe three at most in a year, mm-hmm. given budgetary concerns largely, but also just the ecology, if you want to put it that way, of the whole concert scene. When we talked about it last year, you described it as complementary to the major orchestra we've got right in here in town. I mean, major orchestras have such a huge imprint in any city. So for the orchestras you're bringing to Boston, you described it as choosing those programs and those ensembles that add to something in a way that the BSO isn't doing or somehow reflects in a way. And I just wonder from your point of view, you have the San Francisco Symphony coming with Michael Tilson Thomas and Christian Tetzlaff playing violin, which is a highlight by itself.
Yes. Right?
But also the Australian Chamber Orchestra, which with its own soloist who's a highlight, that's Paul Lewis, the pianist. And tell me about your choices to bring those particular two orchestras to Boston in the coming year.
Well, I do think it falls into the category of sort of when we look at our artists across the genres, we want to bring artists to Boston that you would otherwise have to travel to go see, whether it's New York or San Francisco or London or Wigmore Hall or Carnegie Hall. So we really want to bring, you know, and show Boston and show Boston audiences, you know, what's happening out there in the world in case you don't travel or don't travel as much as you might like to. So knowing, you know, that the orchestras, and yes, they're definitely an expensive proposition, there's no doubt about that, but many of them still want to tour and do tour, and many of them very much want to perform at Symphony Hall because it's such a gem of a hall. You know, we certainly want to follow the artist lead about how do you want to present yourself. So it's, and certainly on programming, the orchestras are going to take the lead and say, well, this is what we're thinking of, and maybe we'll talk about program A or program B. And that is very much about what they want to show, where they are at this particular moment. We do make comparisons, you know, with the BSO and try not to have sort of real direct immediate conflicts, but neither do we. It's pretty rare that we would sort of change the program entirely because of, oh, well, BSO played that last year. I think it's really, it's a different orchestra. It's a different conductor. You might actually gain something from hearing the same piece played by two different orchestras.
And that's the case this year with L.A. They're doing Shostakovich 5, which I think is tremendous to have a different orchestra doing Shostakovich at Symphony Hall.
Yeah. And I think there's nothing lost by that in my mind. And I think, you know, if you're a diehard orchestra listener and goer, that comparison is going to be really interesting to you. And I think if, you know, you really don't like Shostakovich, then there's other things in the program that I think, will appeal. But, certainly that kind of programming shows what Maestro Dudamel, where he is and where he wants and how he wants to showcase the LA Phil.
But, and I love the way that you describe offering Boston audiences who can't or don't have a chance to travel a portrait of that orchestra at that time. Mm-hmm. And for San Francisco, this is a really important time because Michael Tilson Thomas, within a couple of years, is not going to be the music director there anymore. So to have him and the orchestra come to Boston, and I believe they're doing one of the pieces he wrote.
Yes, Agnogram, which was a tribute to one of their larger donors. And it's a play on the A-G-N-E, the letters in the composition itself. And certainly Michael Tilson Thomas has a long history with San Francisco, a long history, you know, connection to Boston as well.
Yeah.
So I do think it's going to be interesting for audiences who've heard him before and seen that orchestra before to hear it again, probably for the last time under his, you know, musical direction. And then at some point in the future, there'll be a new music director.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about Celebrity Series with, you know, 80 years, because this will be our 80th season, is our patrons can follow both individual artists and ensembles over their arc of their careers or their lives to sort of see how are things changing and, well, how is a Berlin different under Simon Rattle?
Yeah.
Now, how is it going to be under, you know, the next music director?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in terms of the Australian Chamber Orchestra, I mean, that's just a dead solid, reliably great time no matter what they're playing. But they're doing these... Paul Lewis will play a Mozart piano concerto, but maybe from the orchestral-only point of view, they're doing Bach and Beethoven in these, basically playing string quartets for
arranged
orchestra.
For string orchestra.
So that's a pretty cool little kind of stamp on that program that says something about where they are as an ensemble, I think.
I mean, as their name says, they really are a chamber orchestra. It is a smaller ensemble. And, doing that concert at Jordan Hall, again, wonderful acoustics there. So to hear a chamber orchestra of that size, both, I mean, large and also somewhat intimate, it was going to be a great experience that our audiences don't often get to have.
Yeah. And in terms of those two solos, I mean, you can't say enough about Christian Tetzlaff and Paul Lewis. They're both well known here, but to have them again with different ensembles is a pretty cool experience.
I think they're both great. They've both been on the series before. We always want to have them back. And when the orchestras proposed them, because we're definitely interested in orchestras with soloists as part of it, because I think it's a nice amplification of, the experience. And I think they're both just terrific, and it's going to be great to hear them.